Before I start, you don't have to stand up. I just want you to raise your hands. Let's worship the Lord. You don't have to stand. You can just stay where you're sitting. Lord, we worship you. Jesus. You are so good to us, Jesus. We love you with all of our heart. We exalt you. Lord, we glorify you. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. We love you with all of our heart, Father. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Jesus. Thank you for giving us the victory in every area of our life. We are victorious in you, Jesus. We love you. We glorify you. We exalt you. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I began this series of teaching on private worship, I don't think in myself that I realized the significance of this message. The timeliness of this message. And I hope, beyond hope, that you have ears to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying through me. This is so important. I can't say that enough. I know how Pastor Dave must have felt when he first began to deliver the message about private worship, which, if you don't remember, it's been about 10 years. I remember how he first began to share this and what his first comments were to us at a camp meeting that was taking place that coincided with some of his first experiences. He said, "If I haven't enticed you enough to pursue this, and I feel like I failed." The importance of it. It goes beyond the words I can say. The importance of you grabbing hold of private worship and beginning to implement this in your daily life. When the Lord has me do something that I'm going to teach about, he generally will plunge me into it head first, to where it's the only thing that I can see when I look around me is private worship. It's just everywhere I look, he's dealing with me about this. So when I've talked in previous messages about the time that I've spent, that he's had me spend in private worship, I want you to understand that you can break into private worship without having to have the huge investment of time. You can do this. You can. If it takes an hour a day, and I know for some people, I used to have one of those schedules that, you know, it was like, sometimes it felt like 18-hour days or 25-hour days. But this is important. If you can schedule yourself to do anything else mundane, you can schedule this into your life. And I can tell you just from my experience up to this point, it will change you. Now, some of the things that I'm sharing this morning, I'll borrow a line that Gary uses. It's the promised land that I am still stepping into. It's not a land that I totally possess at this moment. I'm stepping into it. So bear with me. Some things I've already seen some experience, I've already have some actual experience with myself. For example, Monday, when I went into my time of private worship, he came. It wasn't like I expected it to be. It wasn't where I couldn't stand up and it was, his presence was just making me where I wasn't coherent. It wasn't like that. It was like sitting down and someone else walking into the room and sitting down right there. But the person that sat down right there with you, I can't put words to describe how big God is. How big he is. When you begin to just experience how big he is, I knew right then, when he visited me like that, I knew right then that I haven't revered him enough for who he is. I just haven't. I'm not going to go into a big review over because this is the fourth message regarding private worship. I will touch on a few things that I said last week because it's pertinent to what we're going to talk about this morning. I referred back to the experience that Pastor Dave had, and as I have ventured down this path of private worship, I can't tell you the respect and the admiration that I've gained for Pastor Dave through this. To go down this path not knowing, having no idea what would happen, what this would produce, and spending the hours of worship when it just seems like those words are not going farther than your nose until they fall to the ground. the hours of just sitting there saying, I worship you, Jesus. Not minutes. Hours and days saying, I worship you, Jesus. Do you know how challenging that is? Because all the time that you're sitting there, all the time, until you can get some control over your thoughts, your mind is telling you all the things that you should be doing right now, how much of a waste of time it is. Believe me, this is not a waste of time. Every word that you say, every utterance of worship, He hears it. He receives every bit of it. And it's not just that He receives it, but I truly believe with all of my heart that it gets the attention of heaven when I will stop and I will worship Him. That all of heaven rejoices, because we saw in John chapter 4 that He's seeking a worshiper. And we found out that it can only come out of the new nature. That all of the years and generations throughout the old covenant, that they could not give Him the kind of worship that we can give Him today. They couldn't do it. It was not within their capability, because they did not have a nature that could do so, that could communicate with Him. We have that. So after all of the generations that He sought for somebody, here we are. And when we utter those words, I worship you, it's like, I've been waiting for this. Finally, someone who is able to give me this worship is doing it. So as I referred last week to Pastor Dave's experience, the only thing that he could say about it that would put it into some kind of perspective that we could understand is he felt like he was kissed with compassion. That for 10 seconds, he was able to see you through God's eyes and the love that He has for you. You see, we learned about the attribute of love in our new nature. That our new nature, and we went into detail about this, when you were born again, your new nature came into existence, what? Not knowing anything, correct? But having the ability to be taught. You have the ability to be taught. And we have found out through the years what praying in tongues will do for us. Any moment of any day that you stop whatever you're doing, or continue doing it for that matter, and you begin to utter that heavenly language, instantly we know what happens. Instantly we know that we're employing the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost to go to work on our behalf. And what is He doing? He is teaching our new nature. It is the source of revelation knowledge. That's why Pastor Dave calls it a revelation gift. And I know I say Pastor Dave this and Pastor Dave that. Let me tell you something. When Pastor Dave goes to heaven, and God's showing him his reward, everything that I accomplish in this life through ministry, He has on His account. I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I would be at had I not found out about praying in tongues, how that rescued me. I told you before, I'm a recovering, I don't even remember how I said that now. I'm having to think about it. I used to teach about finances a lot. I'm recovering from that because it was wrong teaching. But this message that Pastor Dave taught that I heard, a recovering prosperity preacher is what it was. This message rescued me and brought me back to a firm foundation, to a foundation that can be built on, so that when I get to heaven, there's going to be something of a reward there. I know that. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that I came across this message, that the Holy Ghost directed my steps here. But what we're going to find out today, and I don't want to get too far ahead, what we're going to find out today is, as important as praying in tongues is, and I can't tell you how important it is, as important as it is, if we focus strictly on praying in tongues, and we forsake private worship, we're missing it. I would almost come as far as to say, we need to have private worship on an equal footing with praying in tongues. These are two things that you can do at will, one of which affects the revelation knowledge. What you know about God, what you understand about God, the revelation from His Word. You pray in tongues, you read His Word, what happens? Revelation knowledge will come. The Holy Ghost is going to teach you. Likewise, when you worship at your own will, you're employing a fellowship gift. You're having fellowship with your Father. You have come out of the arena of just knowing about Him to knowing Him. And that's a big step. That's a huge step. If we only stay in this arena of knowing about Him, we're missing the beauty of who He is. And we can know Him as He is right now, right here, while we're on this earth. While we are on this earth, we can have fellowship with not just God, but God who is our Father. Now, I'm not saying to forsake one for the other. I'm not saying private worship and that's it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that we need to have a life that incorporates private worship and praying in tongues. There needs to be a balance here. I know I tend to go into extremes, as I said earlier, when he plunges me into something so I can teach about it. It's all I think about. It surrounds my life. We have to have a balance. It can't just be one or the other. We can't just assimilate the Word and live in the Word without having the other tools that He's made available to us. As we live in His Word and assimilate the Word, we're also praying in tongues so that the revelation knowledge can come and the Holy Ghost can take that Word and reveal it into our spirit man. But likewise, the fellowship of not just knowing about God, but knowing Him. Knowing Him. When you go to heaven, you're not going to pray in tongues anymore. It's over. And we read that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look there real quick. Just turn there real quick. And the reason why this part is so important is because I had never thought that I was even going to use that scripture. I wasn't even prepared for using that scripture. And whenever I turned and read it, it jumped off the page. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, which is love, agape, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Let's skip over to in the same chapter. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. They shall cease. If we spend all of our time on that, we're investing in something that's wonderful and beautiful and it will change your life. It's changed my life. But we're investing in something that we're not going to take to heaven with us. That stops. We will have the change, but follow what I'm saying. If you also will invest in the private worship, that fellowship that you develop here will follow you to heaven. You're doing something here that's going to follow you into all of eternity. Imagine, just think about this, that you have such a rich fellowship with Him, that you have such a rich relationship on a daily basis with Him, that the moment you step out of this corporal body and you step into heaven, hi, Jesus. It's just like it's always been with us. It's just like all of the days and the years that I've spent in Your presence. Here I am, face to face with You. But I know You. I know You. I'd hate to think that I stepped into heaven and it would be like a, hi, Jesus, I really don't know You all that well, but here I am. When I step into that place, I want to have had such a rich fellowship all of my life with Him that when I step out of this body, it will be like it always is with me and Him. Can you see that? Can you see what's available? And it's not going to cost you hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months. It's not going to cost you. Don't look at the cost. Look at the reward. Look at the reward. I know for myself right now, as I spend the time with Him, there's thoughts that come to me. Especially when, you know, in those times when it just really seems like it's really dry. And, you don't feel like you're making a big impact. In those times, I think about, Jesus, you saved me from an eternity of hell. Where would I be without you? Where would I be without you? Where would I be? And then the minutes don't seem so long anymore. You know, eternity, it's a long time, folks. And He's delivered you out of an eternity of punishment. Think about things like that. Focus on those kind of things. Focus on knowing Him, because that's what this is all about. Let me refer back to last week again. Just like when you're born again, your spirit man comes into existence not knowing anything. Your spirit man, your new nature, has attributes, one of which we talked about last week, agape. And we entitled that message last week, Cultivating Through Private Worship, Cultivating the Love of God, the Agape Through Private Worship. Now, I don't know if these attributes, when I'm born again, are in a seed form. I don't know. All I know is that my spirit man, as I spend time with Him, these attributes develop. They develop. And we talked about agape. There's other ones that we're going to talk about this morning. But in referring to what we ministered last week, go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading. So start in verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And verse 18 is the one we want to focus on. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And stop there. If you'll remember, if you were here, I talked about my battles with fear. I talked about how at times trying to answer the call of my life, I felt myself stepping out previously. And as I stepped out, it's like the bottom came out from underneath of me. And what a struggle it's been to fight that fear. And as I have looked at this scripture, that perfect love cast out fear. Those two do not exist in the same universe, perfect love and fear. As I am allowing this attribute to develop, as I am spending the time in private worship. It is developing. And I am attacking that fear at its root. And I venture to say that there are people, even right here in this building, that are dealing with fear. At times you feel like it consumes your life. Everywhere you look, everything you do, the motivation is fear. You're fearful. I want to encourage you today, as you will spend time in worship, in fellowship with Him, you will attack that root. Perfect love will drive that fear out of you. I know that that's speaking to some people here right now. I know it is. You've been controlled by fear, and the Holy Ghost wants you to know right now, this is the answer you've been looking for. You've gone to prayer lines. You've had people pray over you. Strong anointed people. And still, it plagues you. It doesn't have to plague you anymore. It doesn't have to. Here is the answer. And if you'll remember, when I talked about these attributes, you have the potential for these to develop, but they don't do it on their own. If you will notice, the attribute of love in a Christian doesn't automatically happen. As I noted last week, have you ever noticed that not every Christian is full of love? Have you noticed that there are actually, now think about this, there are actually some mean Christians? Have you noticed that? So if that's the case, something, now this is going to be a stretch, but something is not happening in their life. Can you agree to that? They're missing the boat somewhere. Because the potential's here, but just because you have the potential doesn't mean you're realizing that potential. Do you understand that? Your potential with your new nature for these attributes to develop is unlimited. It is only dependent upon one thing, and that one thing is you. How much are you going to invest in developing these attributes? If it's a thimbleful, guess how much will develop. Guess. A thimbleful. How serious are you? You didn't move halfway across the country to play games here. If you have moved here and somewhere along the way you have lost your way, you can find your way back. You can find your way back. And I would venture to say that there are people that have done that. They heard the message. They had the excitement. They could see the validity of the message. They sold what they needed to sell. They picked up. They moved here. And somewhere along the way, because the enemy is who he is, and we know that one of the definitions is the symbol of the water dripping on the stone until it drives a hole right through it. That's the image. That's the symbol of the enemy. He didn't just boot you out of prayer one day. It was gradual. until he kind of squeezes you out of it. And the next thing you know, you find yourself missing church. You find yourself missing prayer. You find yourself having questions about the message. There is absolutely nothing wrong with this message. And if you feel like there is something wrong with it, the problem is not the message. But if you look in the mirror, you're going to see something. That's where the problem is. I didn't mean to say any of that. That's not here, okay? That's not right here in my notes. Developing these attributes. I want you to see private worship sitting on an equal footing with praying in tongues. If there is one thing out of all of these messages that I can impress upon you, it's that. It's that. I know if we went around and talked to each one of you and surveyed each one of you, you would tell me how significant praying in tongues has been in your life. How much of a change, how it rescued you. I would know that. We would know just by talking to you. How you hold this message in such high esteem. But folks, he preached about worship 10 years ago. He started breaking in 10 years ago. Actually, it was a little bit over 10 years ago. It has been a while since there's been a significant messages, series about private worship. This is timely. This is timely. Do you know what happens if you get off course and you do this message? What happens? And not necessarily off course, but if he brings you to something, has anyone ever had this happen to them? He brings you to something and you look at it. Because of praying in tongues, he walked you up to this place and he said, "This is land I want you to possess. Go into it." And you looked at it and you kind of discounted it, but you kept praying in tongues. And for those of you listening, I'm walking in a circle now. Kodaba sandaraba shondo kotorobo sandarabato shoto kotosito. What does he do? If you will not stop praying in tongues, he will bring you back to exactly what you walked away from before. I know that's why I'm here. Because I didn't stop praying in tongues. What did I stop? Private worship. It went from hours to minutes. And minutes. If I just spent minutes on a weekly basis fellowshipping with my wife, I would have no relationship with her. You don't have a relationship based on minutes. You know somebody because you spend time with somebody. And that's what slipped out of my hands. That's what the deceiver dropped the water until it penetrated a hole in me and I turned loose of it. I didn't know I was turning loose of it. When I turned around and looked back, I'm thinking, gee, and I'm scratching my head right now. Why did I turn loose of private worship? I don't know. But he just reminded me of this. This morning, before we end, there's grace here for you. I know that I'm walking in grace as I step back into private. I know it, folks. I know it because I look at how I went from one amount of time, 1 week, to exponentially increasing it the next week. I know that's not just me and my willpower. I know it's been His grace. Because He wants this so badly. Before we're done today, you are going to have the opportunity to receive that grace to go into this or return to it yourself. The attributes. Turn, if you will, to 2 Peter. Look at chapter 1. Is anyone or is everyone receiving something this morning? Amen. I just like it so much. We're only going to go to the first in chapter 1. We're only going to go through verse 10, so I may just go ahead and read this. We have some time here. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us how much? All things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, now these next two verses we want to really pay attention to. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature. Verse 3, look at it again. According as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is your born again experience. This is this new nature coming inside of you. Verse 4, whereby through that are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add. Now I'm going to have to look at my notes for this. The word add. If you look in the Vine's Expository Dictionary, this is what it says. For the word add, it says, always translated, supply, in the Revised Version. I need to preface this. If you look up the word add, it will also say minister. So if you look up minister, it says this. Always translated, supply, in the Revised Version. It suggests, and this is important, it suggests an abundant supply. An abundant supply. So let's think of that and read this. And besides this, giving all diligence, don't just think of add, abundantly supply your faith virtue. Where? If you supply something, don't you have to have a source for a supply? Where? Oh, where am I going to find an abundant supply of virtue? Don't you think that if I get in His presence, that is where an abundant supply exists? So let's go on now. abundantly supply your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which is self-control, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness. Look at that. Our old friend, love. Well, that must be an attribute of my new nature. This must be a list. This is a list of the attributes of my new nature. These can be developed in me. Look at that. Now, when I look at knowledge at the beginning, I think we already have some idea. Praying in tongues is the answer to this. We already have some idea how to develop revelation knowledge inside of us. The question is, how do I get these others? Where does self-control come from? Where does patience come from? I always heard, don't pray for patience. That's a bad thing to do. Everything bad will happen to you if you do that. Well, what if I don't have to pray for it? What if I just allow it to develop in me? Hey, that sounds better. Why don't I just get in His presence, worship Him, and allow these attributes to develop inside of me? What about that? What about self-control? What about godliness, brotherly kindness, and love? How come we don't see more of this in the church? Aren't we all Christians? Shouldn't this all be working in us? We know it's not. But the potential is here. So how do I realize this potential? It's because I get alone with the one who's the source of it all. I tap into that source by worshiping Him. And when He comes on the scene, whether I feel Him in my natural body or not is irrelevant. I'm not going to stop because I can't feel Him. I'm not going to not do this because my natural body doesn't acknowledge His presence. When you're worshiping Him, guess what? He's there. And when He's there and I live with Him, I begin to cultivate these attributes in my own life. They grow, they develop, I become like Him. I become like Him. Okay, I guess I have to do this. Like I said, I'm seeing the change in myself. It's gradual because I've got issues. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. She probably won't tell you. Yesterday, I'm not going to go into detail about this, but while I was working yesterday, I was in a grocery store. I won't name it. You're all very familiar with it. It wasn't the big one. It was a different one. The one I was in yesterday was not a very nice one. I was in the back room, and as happens frequently when you're dealing with soda pop, one of the 12 packs gets pushed off, falls to the floor, and breaks open. So what happens? And I was in the back room, concrete, dirty, filthy concrete floor. It had soda pop on it. It's like it's had other things worse. Okay? So I just go about my business. I actually stopped and went down and looked for a mop. Didn't find one. So I went back to work again. I noticed as I was pushing the cart into the back room after this event that I caught a glare from the store manager. It was one of those glares like, if you don't do something about that, you're never coming back in this store. It was one of those kind of glares. So I'm back there. He walks back in the back. So I ask him, where's the mop? So he proceeds to take me down like I am 3 years old. I'm 45. I have a bachelor's degree from a four-year university in business management. He walks me down like I'm 3 years old, gets the bucket, and then he proceeds to tell me, put water in it. Now, you know all the time what the enemy is saying inside of my head. You're a failure. Look at you now. Look at you now. You're a failure. Look at what this has done to you. Mopping up this filthy concrete floor. Look at what this, where has this taken you? Where are you at now? Don't you know what they've done to you? Don't you know how they've cut your pay? Don't you know that you're better than this? All you have to do is solve your own problem, Mark. Just solve your own problem. You know the way out of here. You know how to get a good job, pays good money. Do you know what happened at that moment? Do you know what came out of my mouth? I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. See, this is in spirit and in truth. Out of my new nature, I'm worshiping him out of the truth that I know who I am, what he's done for me. I know that I am a serving son, and I am in that place because he told me to be there. I don't have to answer my own problems anymore. I don't have to solve them myself. I'm a serving son. And I can throw up my hands, or I can just worship him quietly if I don't want to draw attention to the store and go like this. But I can worship him. And it is out of a position of knowing, out of a change that's happened inside of me, that I know who I am and why I'm there. It's not based on my intellect. It's not based on what I've accomplished in the past. It's based on one thing. He sent me there. He told me, I want you to do this. This is what I want from you for now. Do this. I worship you, Jesus, because I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be at, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm running out of time. Let's look at verse 8. For if, notice that word if, it just bounced right off the page at me. It just bounced off the page at me. If these things be in you, they might not be if you don't develop this private worship. It might not be. It doesn't come automatically. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, look at it. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, give diligence. Does that sound to you like he's talking about a few minutes a week? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I can be free from fear and never fall. If I develop a fellowship relationship with my Father, this is the potential that lies ahead for me. Unlimited potential, folks. Unlimited. Please. Please. Grab hold of this. Can I have somebody at the piano? As I said earlier, and I'm going to have to close here. As I said earlier, whether you've never practiced this or not, private worship, whether you've never attempted to break into it, or whether you were involved in it, you were doing it, and you let it slip away from you, the grace is here. He told me this. He told me Wednesday night that the grace was going to be here for this. Close your eyes. If this is speaking to you, I don't want you to make just another action with no follow through. I don't want that. That's not what this is about. This is about today. Jesus, I purpose in my heart to step into this. I see the significance. I see the importance of it. And I want this. I felt like I had this before and I let it slip out of my hands. But I want this. But you know me, Jesus. You know me. You know I need help. You know I need grace. Because I can't do this without your help. If you want His grace, stand up right now. Stand up. If you want His grace, stand up. Jesus. Father, you told me Wednesday night that the grace would be here. Father, I believe for every person that's standing right now, raise up your hands. I want you to see yourself as you would be accepting a gift. Just envision this. You've got your hands out. Just see yourself receiving this gift of His grace. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for imparting grace into these people right now. Just receive it. Just receive that grace because He's here. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the grace. I thank you for the grace for private worship. I thank you, Jesus, for this grace. We receive it. Just say that. I receive it. I receive it, Jesus. And just start thanking Him for it. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace for private worship. Thank you, Jesus. And just let's just worship Him. Everybody, just stand up. Let's worship Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We glorify you. We worship you, Jesus. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. We love you. Hallelujah. 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 Glorify your name. Glorify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glorify you, Lord. Magnify your name. Father, we love you. Father, we worship you. Father, we exalt you. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We are worshipers. We are worshipers, Father. We are worshipers. We will worship you. We're the ones that you've been seeking for, God. We're the ones you've been seeking for, Father. We worship you. You're worthy, Jesus. You are so worthy, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I want this to launch you into private worship. The grace is here. I want you schedule this. If it has to be some kind of mechanical scheduling for you, do it. Do whatever it takes. But don't let this pass you by, please. Receive. Receive what He's saying to you. You know, I feel like, I know we usually have fellowship time right now, but the Spirit of God's here. And it would be wrong to disrupt Him right now. So I would ask that in the auditorium, let's just have silence here and or just worshiping. Let's not fellowship in here. If you would want to fellowship, do it in the foyer and outside between services, please. Because this is important. God's doing something right now in people. And the last thing we want to do is interrupt the Holy Ghost. Amen? So you can be seated. You're free to go. If you just want to enjoy this presence, I think it would be good to have music, if that's okay. Just enjoy the presence.